Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Good news, Revelation 14, 6 to 20. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and the springs of water." Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of passion and her sexual immorality." And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven. He too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has the authority over fire. And he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest to the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress of the wrath of God and the winepress was trodden outside the city. And the blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1600 stadia. A lot of interesting images here that would be kind of a temptation to figure out. This is really about judgment. There's good news. We are at war, but the dragon has already been defeated. While the devil is doing his diabolical work to keep people from experiencing Jesus, I think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded them so they don't even see the light of the gospel. God is continuing to pour out his message through his angels. The gospel is announced. Seeds of the kingdom are sown, demonstrated through the way people suffer and through signs and wonders. And very soon, Jesus will reap a gospel harvest. The declaration is here. Babylon has fallen. Note, it's in the past. Even though we don't see it at this moment, it feels like the structures of Babylon are still around us. The structures of Rome are still around us. The structures of America are still around us, or whatever country you're listening from. But the truth of the matter, the war has already been won. We are just in the process of realizing victory after victory. There's a sullen reality in this because judgment is very serious. The sullen reality is that God honors our choices. No one gets sent to the winepress of God's wrath without choosing to go there. I've had people say to me, I can't believe in a God who would send anyone to hell. And I say to them, I can't believe in a God who would send anyone to hell as well. But I can't deny the reality of hell. I can't believe in heaven if I believe Jesus' teaching and not believe in hell. He speaks more about hell than he speaks about heaven. The reality is that God's wrath is there, really is good news. We wouldn't want a world where sin is just ignored. J.A. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, says, God's wrath in the Bible is something which humans choose for themselves. Before hell is an experience inflicted by God, it is a state for which a person opts by retreating from the light which God shines in our hearts to lead us from ourselves to himself. there are two harvests that are mentioned here, a grain and a grape harvest. The reason I don't like to literally identify these is that there's symbolic language happening here. A sickle is used to bring the grain forward, but you never use a sickle to gather the grapes. You use your hands to draw in the grapes. Never in Scripture do we see reaping used for judgment. It's for the ingathering. It's for what God wants to do. Maybe we could say indirectly, the passage, you reap what you sow, could be a judgment declaration. But reaping is about what God wants to bring into us. The reminder is that our decisions have consequences, and God does not deal arbitrarily with us. Even so, when the sickle swings, it will be for the ingathering of us into relationship with Him. The so what of this passage is linked to yesterday. Yesterday, we saw this great declaration of identity. I've been using this phrase recently. Our identity informs our decisions. Our decisions form our character, and our character determines our legacy. I see this as not just being linear. I think it's see it being circular. As our character is formed, it helps us in our sense of identity and allows us to have a better base out of which to make our decisions. So I see it looping back forth and forth. But our identity is really important. If I read these passages and I'm in rebellion, I'm going to have great fear about the judgment of God. But if I read these passages and know that I'm under the blood of the Lamb, there'll be a sense of expectation of what God's going to declare in gathering me in. My now what is to thank God for opening the eyes of my heart that they haven't remained blinded. My now what is to petition God ongoingly that I would have discernment to make good choices that would build the right character. And then in the end, to give thanks to God for His restorative justice that is always redeeming even the good and bad decisions that I make. He has an ability to turn what was meant for evil, even my own intentions, to good. Lord, we're grateful that You are a judging God. We wouldn't want a God who is just arbitrarily dictating things in our world. You honor our choices. You honor the nature of this relationship. Today, strengthen our resolve that we would make decisions that play into Your perfect will for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.